Welcome to the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson with you. I'm a homeschool father of five, also a pastor of a church out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. Bill Jack in studio from Worldview Academy. And today we're going to take a look at how worldview affects the church and how worldview has affected the apostasy of the day. Worldviews are networks of presuppositions involving a person's perception of reality, truth, and ethics. And friends, these...
Let me kind of, for our listeners, let me just kind of boil that down, okay?
Go for it, man.
Your worldview is your view of the world.
That helps.
Yeah, wasn't that helpful?
That helps, yeah.
Yeah. It really is. It's that set of glasses through which you filter reality.
Yes, and the set of glasses is constructed by basic presuppositions about, well, just about everything. Who am I? What am I? Am I a piece of cosmic dust floating around a universe of pure chance? Does God exist, or is it just the material world? Do we live in a natural world, or is there something beyond the natural? Is there a supernatural? These questions are important, and people maintain certain assumptions before they write their science textbooks, their history textbooks, and their literature textbooks. And sadly, most of the textbooks that are written with a distinctively humanistic perspective, that is, that most events are random and disconnected, and man has a certain amount of influence, causal influence upon what happens in the world, but God is a non-factor. And so when we begin to write our world history books and American history books for our new curriculum, we're writing with a Christian worldview perspective that God is absolutely sovereign over history, and God needs to be recognized and worshiped and acknowledged on almost every page in a world history or U.S. history textbook. Now, again, that doesn't happen in most history textbooks. Why? Because the assumptions that are working in the minds of those writing the textbooks is that God is a non-factor, or God is an insignificant factor in the development of history. And so we assume that God is important. Bill, there's a connection between the worldview perspective of those who are trained in K-12 schools and universities and the connection they have with the Christian faith and with the Christian church. And I think we need to remember this connection. Right now, we're seeing that church attendance and the ascribing of oneself to the Christian faith is in massive decline in America and in Britain. America's decline is just beginning. It began last year, really. Church attendance dropped off from 44% to 36% over the last year or two. So this is the first time in which we're beginning to see it affect church attendance. And these massive buildings that dot our villages and cities across America will be emptied of individuals attending those churches over the next 15 to 20 years, unless, by the grace of God, the Holy Spirit brings a revival to this country. We pray for it. But right now, we are looking at the same free fall that England began about 50 years ago. We're following now, and we will soon be what Britain is today. The British Social Attitude Survey has found that certifiable atheists, that is the percentage of people that do not align themselves with a religion, that is certifiable materialistic atheists, have risen. The percentage has risen from 35% to 51% in 25 years. But here's the kicker. 18 to 24-year-olds, 62% atheist last year. A year later, 71% confessed to be atheist in a single year.
In just 1 year.
That's right. 62% to 71% amongst the young people in just a single year. Now, again, the remaining 28% are Muslim or liberal Anglican, or there are a few evangelicals dotted in there as well. But the fact is, the percentage of people who call themselves atheists risen from 35% to 51% in the UK in just the last 25 years. And so now what's significant about this program right now is that we are revealing to all of the listening audience that the mass percentage, the majority percentage of Englanders today are atheists for the first time in English history.
But why would you not expect that to be the case when you have, as one of the saints of science, the home of the saint of science today, and that is Chucky Darwin.
Chucky Darwin.
Yeah.
And the results of Darwin's theories must not be underestimated. There were only 0.2% atheists in 1900. some 5% in 1946. And I walk through this in my chapter on Charles Darwin in Apostate, The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West, a book that I released a couple of years ago. So Charles Darwin, huge influence, friends, 0.2% evolutionists or atheists in America and England in 1900. It went up to about 5% in 1946, 35% in the 1990s. Now 51% of UKers are confessed atheists or atheistic materialists. Darwin made the difference. Christopher Hitchens, the well-known atheist that was writing some 5, 6, 7 years ago before he died, Christopher Hitchens wrote that Darwin's doctrine of evolution has removed in every thinking mind the last vestige of Orthodox Christianity.
Yeah, it's interesting because atheist Frank Zindler, in a debate with William Lane Craig on atheism versus Christianity, said this: "The most devastating thing, though, that biology did to Christianity was the discovery of biological evolution." He went on to say, "I think that evolution is absolutely the death knell of Christianity."
Yeah. And of course, their overweening confidence in a pseudoscience is impressive, yeah. Impressive to say the least.
And you're correct to call it a pseudoscience. That's exactly what evolution is. It is not science. It's not even good philosophy. It is a pseudoscience. It is on the same basis with phrenology. Remember phrenology?
No.
Oh, I'm old enough to remember this. Back in the 1800s. Yeah.
Way back then.
Yeah. They people would feel the bumps on your head and then predict your personality. Yeah.
Well, that's evolution
Phrenology.
Evolution, my friends, has never proven that inanimate has turned into the animate. It's never been able to find the missing links in the fossil record. They don't have a fossil record to substantiate it. There's no mechanism whatsoever. They've never been able to identify a mechanism that could turn inanimate rocks into human beings in a mere 4 billion years. I mean, come on. It's obvious. This doesn't happen, friends. It doesn't happen in a chance universe where complexity comes out of the lack of complexity. This kind of thing doesn't happen. They haven't repeated it in a laboratory either. If they did, then we still wouldn't know whether it happened that way in the first place.
You're just a skeptic. You know
well,
that?
Yeah,
you're
just
a skeptic. I mean, can a million scientists be wrong? Come on, Kevin.
But I also can distinguish between a wild-haired hypothesis and a law, a scientific law. And I would hope that somebody out there would start to moderate the dogmatism on this whole kissing the frog and turning the frog into a princess gig. Would somebody please just moderate the enthusiasm just ever so slightly?
Yeah. They kiss the frog, now turn it into Prince Charles of England.
Yeah. Well, here's John Dewey. John Dewey himself, the father of modern public education, also the father of pragmatism, but the man who is probably the most influential philosopher of the 20th century for the United States of America. I have a whole chapter on him in my book, Apostate, The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West. Be sure you understand the theories, the ideas, the perspectives, and the men and their lives who destroyed the Christian West, who effectively turned the world into a materialistic, anti-supernaturalistic perspective. Friends, almost the entire world, almost every single institution, almost every single museum, almost every single university in America denies the possibility of young Earth creation. Why? Because of Charles Darwin and his influence. I tell the story in Apostate, The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West. Listen to what John Dewey says about Charles Darwin: that the publication on the Origin of Species marked an epoch in the development of the natural sciences is well known to the layman, that the combination of the very words origin and species embodied an intellectual revolt and introduced a new intellectual temper is easily overlooked by the expert. The conceptions that reigned in the philosophy of nature and knowledge for 2,000 years since Jesus Christ showed up, the conception that had become the familiar furniture of the mind, setting the worldview of the Western world, rested on the assumption of the superiority of the fixed and the final, that is, God and his word revelation. In laying hands upon the sacred ark of absolute permanency, in treating the forms that had been regarded as types of fixity and perfection as originating and passing away, the origin of species introduced a mode of thinking that in the end was bound to transform the logic of knowledge and hence the treatment of morals, politics, and religion for 2,000 years since the time of Christ, purposefulness accounted for the intelligibility of nature and the possibility of science, while the absolute or cosmic character of this purposefulness gave sanction and worth to the moral and religious endeavors of men. But the Darwinian principle of natural selection cuts straight under this philosophy. If all organic adaptations are due simply to constant variation, the elimination of these variations, which are harmful in the struggle for existence that is brought about by excessive reproduction, there is no call for a prior intelligent causal force to plan and proclaim them. God is a faded piece of metaphysical goods. In the mind of modern man, God is dead. That, my friends, is John Dewey on the legacy of Charles Darwin, who single-handedly killed God, according to John Dewey. But now John Dewey is dead, and so is Charles Darwin. Be back with more in just a moment.
Hi, I'm Adam McManus. You may recognize my voice from the Worldview in 5 minutes, played at the beginning of the Generations radio program every day. We've received so much positive feedback from our listeners about this newscast that we recently launched it as a standalone radio program at theworldview.com. Not only can you listen to this Christian newscast at theworldview.com, you can also subscribe to get The Worldview in 5 minutes delivered to you daily via email, iTunes, or other podcatchers via RSS. Needless to say, the whole process is quite time-consuming. 9 people work diligently to put it together. A couple people research the news stories at an hour apiece. Then the writers spend about 2 hours writing it, and I spend an hour or so taping it and editing it. And then finally, one of our editors adds in the music as well as the sound bites that were gleaned from interviews that very day. And all of it is 100% listener supported. If you've been encouraged by this broadcast, perhaps even using it in your own family worship like many of our listeners do, looking up scriptures and their relevance to today's headlines, please consider giving to support our continued work by going to generations.org/give and selecting Worldview News. Again, that's generations.org/give and selecting Worldview News. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ.
And we're back on the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson here with you as we take a look at British social attitudes, indicating that atheism, materialism, way up. A majority of Englanders now are anti-religious, that is certifiable atheists. 51% of UKers are certifiably materialistic atheists, up from 0.2% at the turn of the 20th century. So Darwin's made a difference, Bill, big time. And I think Darwin's making a difference with the church as well. This, I believe, to be a Barna survey in which they asked some 800 pastors, what's your perspective on young Earth versus older Earth evolution? And it turns out 19% of American pastors are young Earth creationists. Yeah. 19%.
They believe that the Earth was less than 10,000 years old and God created life in its present form in 6 days.
That's pretty low. I was expecting more so, because I think 40% of Americans are young Earth creationists, or at least they believe that the Earth is fairly young.
But you got to realize, Kevin,
these are the leaders, Bill.
No. You got to realize that's how it works. The leaders go away to seminary. The seminaries have been taken over by secularists, just like the universities have. And so then they come back and they teach those in the pew. But those in the pew have to catch up to the leadership.
Yeah. Each generation. The universities, the seminaries, the K-12 schools, always more progressive in moving towards a fully consistent materialistic, anti-supernaturalistic worldview in the science classes. And that affects the Christian colleges, of course. Twice as many liberal arts professors at Christian colleges hold to a old Earth evolutionary perspective versus the science department heads, as it turns out. But anyway, 19% of pastors in America are young Earth creationists. And here's a kicker. 13% of big church pastors go with the young Earth perspective. That is, the churches where there's more than 1,000 people in the congregation, they're less likely to take the position of young Earth.
Now, why is that? I think there's a couple of answers for that question. The first question is, well, you don't want to be controversial because then you don't draw the crowds.
Well, you might offend somebody.
You might offend somebody.
Really interesting in John 6 and then once again in John 10 and other places.
Are you bringing the Bible into
this? Oh, yes.
This?
I love to bring the Word of God in.
Okay.
Jesus offends people.
Jesus, but you're going to offend people, Kevin. You're going to offend people.
Jesus offends people. He offended people in John chapter 6. He used the language that offended.
I prefer the warm fuzzies rather than the cold pricklies today, if you don't mind.
He told his disciples that, they've all left me. Will you leave me also? His church size moved from some 5,000 to 12. Within a single chapter after he began to speak of the sovereignty of God and salvation and eating my flesh and drinking my blood and other doctrines that were so offensive to the carnal humanist mind. And these guys walked away from him on that issue. Then Luke chapter 14, there were huge crowds following him. He turned around and said, unless you hate your father, your mother, your brother, and your sister, you can in no wise be my disciple. Unless you hate your own life also, you will in no wise be my disciple.
Sunday school attendance went way down.
That's not exactly a church growth program. Are you with me? that would not have made it to the PowerPoint presentation at the church growth seminar. Are you with me here, Bill?
Yeah, I think so.
Jesus, all the crowds are following him. Now listen, he turns around. Now listen, if you're not willing to hate your own father, own mother, and your wife and husband also, you will in no wise be my disciple. That's pretty offensive.
That's pretty offensive. And there are certain things that do cut people away. And one of these is the issue of origins.
It is.
But it reminds me, you showed me an article this morning about statements that Christians cling to that
yes.
need to be reevaluated.
Yes.
And it kind of goes along with this.
There are people who say no creed but Christ. You've heard these people.
Yeah, yeah.
But they have their own creeds. They come by way of cliches.
Yes.
You know, your creed is only something that you repeat over and over and over again. And so the modern evangelical have their creeds, but their creeds is made up of cheap little cliches
yeah.
that oftentimes don't reflect the truths of God's word.
It's bumper sticker theology.
Pretty much, yes, yeah. yes. But it's still a creed.
Christianese.
But it's still a creed.
Yeah.
And it's Christianese. It's cliche Christianity. Great article from somebody named Michelle Leslie. I don't know who the woman is, but man, she's got a great article called Watch Your Language, 10 Christian Terms That Need to Be Cleaned Up. And let's hit a couple of these before we're done with this program. Again, we're looking at softy, wafty Christianity, not willing to say the truth, not willing to bring out the truths of God's word in relation to these cliches. And so here's one. Let's let God or allow God to do X or Y. Have you ever heard somebody say that?
Yeah.
Let God do this. Let God do that.
There used to be a famous one, let go and let God.
Yeah, I remember that one as well. She says that's a real problem. Doctrinally sound Christians I know say they need to let or allow God to do something in their lives. They don't mean I'm in charge here and I call the shots. God can do whatever I want him to do because I'm the boss, et cetera, et cetera. What they mean is I need to stop doing things that are displeasing to God and obey his word because he wants to grow me to a greater Christ-likeness. But that's not what they're saying.
That's
when
right.
When you're saying, let God, you're saying that
I'm going to allow God to do this.
Your doctrine is this. Okay,
yeah.
Let's talk about your creed for a moment. When you walk around saying, you got to let God do this, you got to let God do that, what are you really saying? What you're saying is that man's will is more sovereign than God. Than God's will. You're placing yourself in the driver's seat and you're going to let God grab the wheel from time to time and control your life. But God already controls your life. God is already in sovereign control of all things. And that's what you're forgetting. And I think this undermining of the sovereignty of God and placing man in the driver's seat is obviously as rank humanism as you can possibly be. This is what man wants to do. Man wants to take control of his own destiny and then just let God do this or let God do that.
So what you're saying, instead of saying let go and let God, we should let go of the statement, let God.
Thank you. Yes, that's exactly right. Is God involved in our sanctification process? Absolutely. God works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure so that we can work out our salvation with fear and trembling. That's the biblical approach to this, my friends. this idea of letting God do the work. God's already doing the work. He's already working in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And you would never will or to do of his good pleasure if it wasn't him working in you to will and to do of his good pleasure so that you would work out your salvation with fear and trembling. All right, so that's the way it works. Let's be sure we're biblical on these things. And here's another one. She says, you accept Jesus or make Jesus Savior or make Jesus Lord of your life. Again, she says, accept or make puts us in the driver's seat and leaves Jesus as a puppet who moves at our whims. Jesus is king. We don't accept him. He graciously accepts us. We don't make him Lord. He's already Lord.
Yeah,
he's already Lord. It's just for us to acknowledge it and to bow the knee before him. What's going on here, Bill? What's happening here?
It's the sola fide. Yeah.
It's the sola fide. And she's got one of those too.
It's a new doctrine.
She says, here's another one. What do you feel God would have you to do? See again. What do you feel? Yeah. Is a great little article in Babylon Bee. I don't know if have you checked this out?
Yes.
On
it's
feeling.
Hilarious.
Yeah. Oh, it's so good.
Oh,
yeah.
The Babylon Bee. Their sarcasm cuts so deep.
There's,
doesn't it?
The evangelicals have come together and they've issued a new statement on by feels alone. It's a new doctrine. Influential group of the nation's top progressive evangelical authors, speakers, and bloggers met Wednesday to officially affirm the recently drafted doctrine of sola feels. These are the sola feels. I feel. Do you ever hear this before now? See, it's interesting how the zeitgeist works its way into language.
Language is important. And that's what this lady's talking about. Language matters because language sets your worldview.
And philosophy and worldview affects these teenage kids who feel this and feel that. I feel that this needs to be the way we ought to play. I feel that this is my opinion. I feel that this is truth. I feel that's truth. Friends, the minute you start talking that way, you have given way to a false worldview in which feeling directs you. This new doctrine, translated by feels alone, formally outlines one of the essentials of modern-day progressive evangelicalism, that one's feelings are the supreme authority in all matters of theology and practice. So that's the way this thing works. Quite simply, sola feels means that all spiritual truths only become true once they've filtered through and accepted by our feels. All the feels. Popular author and speaker Jane Hansen told reporters after the meeting, thus, things that make us feel bad, those are wrong. The things that give us all the happy feels, those are the ones that are true, right, and good.
Feelings, nothing more than feelings.
Bill, we joke about this, but this is serious.
It is.
As Dionysus rises.
I feel it is very serious.
You feel it's serious. As Dionysus rises, as the Greek god of feeling and emotion rises, this is a new theology. This is the romanticism of the early 19th century. This is the romanticism of Emerson and Thoreau, the transcendentalists of the 1830s and 1840s. I hope you recognize these worldviews that are affecting the way the teenagers talk, because their talk becomes an outworking of their worldview, and sometimes their talk really turns into a shifting of worldview to a more of a romanticist or a materialistic way of thinking about the world. All right, my friends, if you would like to understand a little bit more about the worldviews that have affected the modern life and certainly have affected modern evangelicals in presenting the sovereignty of man over the sovereignty of God, in presenting feeling above the truth, the objective truth, the revelation truth of God's word. If you want to understand how these worldviews have affected the average evangelical in their language, in their creedal statements that come by means of cliches, get a copy of my book, Apostate, The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West. These powerful ideas of the 19th century have worked their way into the warp and the woof of modern evangelical life, and indeed the entire modern world in England, America, throughout the entire Western world and much of the Eastern world as well. Apostate is the book, The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West, available at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. Be sure to get copies for all of your children and grandchildren. If you would like a price for multiple copies, just simply email me at host@kevinswanson.com. But be sure to get copies of Apostate, The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.
If you want the right worldview for your news, you'll want the right worldview for your children's education. That's why we've produced the Worldviews in Conflict curriculum for your teens. It's a curriculum that will equip them to engage the war of the worlds. Check it out at theworldview.com/curriculum. That's theworldview.com/curriculum. It's Tuesday, September 12th, AD 2017. This is The Worldview in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. Tragedies have reached epic proportions this year for America. It was the first time in history that the United States was hit by two Category 4 hurricanes in 1 year. Irma was the most powerful hurricane in the open Atlantic in recorded history, with winds blowing at 185 miles per hour. The storm was still a Category 5 when it hit Cuba, setting another record. By God's mercy, Irma's winds abated to 115 miles per hour before hitting America's coastlines. However, Jackson, Florida, and Charleston, South Carolina report record flooding. AccuWeather President Joel Myers is putting damages for both Irma and Harvey at $290 billion. Making it the worst hurricane season in American history. Amos 3:6 asks, is a trumpet blown in a city and the people are not afraid? Does disaster come to a city unless the Lord has done it? The death toll from last week's 8.1 magnitude earthquake in southern Mexico has climbed to 90 people at last count. Residents in the states of Oaxaca and Chiapas have felt some 800 aftershocks. It was the strongest earthquake hitting Mexico in a century. The United Nations Security Council is pushing for an embargo on oil shipments to North Korea and an asset freeze on North Korean international investments. The North Korean Foreign Ministry responded with another pungent threat that, quote, the forthcoming measures to be taken by North Korea will cause the U.S. the greatest pain and suffering it had ever gone through in its entire history. Unquote. 1 month has gone by since Gao Zisheng, the Christian human rights lawyer, was taken from house arrest and disappeared on August 13th. Now, International Christian Concern confirms that Zisheng is being held in Beijing. Gina Go, International Christian Concern's regional manager for Southeast Asia, explained to The Worldview why China targets human rights lawyers.
I believe that they became the targets because they defend the most vulnerable in China, including Christians, especially house church Christians. They feel like their power is being threatened by a large amount of people. And if they continue to thrive, then they feel like they are threatened. And these lawyers are fighting for their rights, so they don't like to see that.
Go shared the most pressing prayer needs for Zisheng and his family right now.
First and foremost is definitely his health, because he's been through a lot and he has a teeth problem, and his request of seeing dentist has been denied so many times. And after all this year, his health in general is not good. And so we also don't know what his detention condition at this moment. So I think in terms of health, that's one big issue.
Larry Bates, the former CEO of Information Radio Network and well-known Christian broadcaster, was sentenced to 21 years in prison for his part in a multi-million dollar Ponzi scheme. The U.S. District Court ordered Bates to repay $21 million, which he bilked out of Christians and retired elderly persons. According to Time magazine, they had collected $87 million from clientele with a promise to deliver on gold and silver coins. At one time, the Information Radio Network aired on 2,500 radio stations and merged with Marlon Maddox's USA Radio Network in 2008, with Larry Bates heading the company. Two of Larry Bates's sons and a daughter-in-law have also been convicted of similar charges and have yet to be sentenced. Leviticus 19:13 strongly warns us, you shall not defraud your neighbor, neither rob him. The wages of him that is hired shall not abide with you all night until the morning. After President Trump signed the bill suspending the debt limits over the weekend, The national debt topped $20 trillion for the first time. The debt was $10 trillion when President Obama took office back in 2008, and $1 trillion when President Reagan took office in 1980, adjusted for inflation. The debt-to-gross domestic product ratio is 103%, up from 67% in 2008. Deuteronomy 28:15 and 43-44 says, "If you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe his commandments, the sojourner who is among you shall rise higher and higher above you. He shall lend to you, and you shall not lend to him. He shall be the head, and you shall be the tail." And that's The World View in 5 minutes on this Tuesday, September 12th, in the year of our Lord, 2017. Invite your friends to listen to this unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ. What kind of worldview do your children get? The vast majority of teens from Christian families are abandoning a biblical worldview, according to the Barna Group. Sadly, many parents do not realize that the curriculum they have chosen for their children actually conveys the wrong worldview of history, science, life's purpose, and truth. Pass on the faith to your children with a distinctively Christian education. Check out our Christian discipleship curriculum at theworldview.com/curriculum. That's theworldview.com/curriculum.